For free.
Actually, we're going to discuss some really, we're going to read powerful pages tonight. And I saw some new things in this that I hadn't seen before. And we are on agnostics, and we're on page 55. And I covered these two paragraphs very briefly at the end of the last meeting. And I saw some new stuff that I'd never seen before, how this ties together. And I'm interested to see what you guys think. On page 45, I think, and I hadn't seen the connection, but it says, lack of power, that was our dilemma. Anybody remember that? Anybody think that that's our dilemma? That's a dilemma, because we don't have power, and then our dilemma is, how do we find it? So it says, I had to find a power by which I could live, and it had to be a power greater than me. Obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? But that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Now, I didn't see it, but on page 55, it's going to show us in these paragraphs where we find this, where this power is and how we find it. And I hadn't seen that before. So it says, the first paragraph is the starts with actually, and this is the paragraph that tells us where the power is, and then the next part tells us how we find the power. So it says actually, and I was fooling myself my whole life. I could see it now. For deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. Now, I've heard people, I got on the internet because I was trying to find who was the man that they talked to in the next page. And I looked up agnostics and there are these people who just hate this chapter. They just trash it. And when I was reading how they're obscuring their idea of God, I could see that they don't understand that this is not for their opinion. We're not asking their opinion of this. They're telling us their experience and their observations, and either you want to listen and to their experience and try to share their experience or not. And how do you do that? You block it. So Sandy Beach said that we agnostics, the title should be changed, and it should just say, change your mind. And that's true. And it says, so actually, I was fooling myself, for deep down, every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. And so, how did I obscure the fundamental idea of God? Now, I did mention last week that in Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, which I actually read the first 43 pages because Sandy Beach talked about how it really shows the fundamental idea of God, that it's this idea of God has been in all civilizations and all human beings since the beginning of time. It's a sense of right or wrong. It's a sense of moral justice. It's a sense of truth. And it's been in all societies. And if you can, get that book on Amazon. And if you read those first 40-some pages, it's really powerful. The whole book is good. And he writes so that it's easy to understand. And so this fundamental idea of God, he says, has always been in all civilizations throughout history. And it's not a religious idea. It's a fundamental idea. It's a spiritual idea. And then it's obscured. Now, how did I obscure the fundamental idea of God in me? Well, what about resentments, approval, success, fear, harms done to others, worshiping things, prestige, trying to get people to feel good about myself through things that were out there? And it says, by in some form or other, it is there. And as I mentioned, this idea of God has always been there. And it's our true inner nature when we're born. And this is the way God created us. Now, I created the person that I became in my own mind by separating from God. And I made a decision that I was playing God and that what I wanted mattered. And I had this delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of life by managing it well. So I sought things out there to solve a spiritual problem. I didn't realize that till I came to AA. And so how did I block it out? Old ideas. And AA gives me an inventory where I could see the ways I block God. See, that's what we do. We have a way. It says on page 64, anybody remember? You take the third step, and it says next it at once, you're gonna do a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. And the decision, the third step, is vital and crucial, but it's not going to have any effort unless I have a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in me which have been blocking me from God. And so God's inside here, but I've been blocking him out here with my old ideas, with the way I saw things. And the fourth and fifth step is where we begin to see the truth. And we could see how we were living on lies and the things we worshipped and how our instincts for life and how we sought emotional, material, and sexual instincts survival, how these dominated us and they obscured our relationship with God because they became our higher power. And so it starts in 4 or 5. And remember on Wednesday, we read about step 5 is how we want to live on the truth. And so we're going to see the truth, see the blocks, so we can face and be rid of them, and then see the real me. Now, the real me, when I came in, is not this person I created on the left-hand side, the selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate person. The real me, the one God created, was loving, tolerant, honest, courageous. But I blocked that out. And so when I was self-centered and playing God and I see the world, I'd react always in the left-hand side, in the self-centered way. And so we begin to cast them out in step 5, these character defects, and we continue in 6 and 7. And then in 8 and 9, we try to clear ourselves with the world. You know, we make amends to those we've harmed, so there's no block between me and the world. And in our mind, in 4, 5, and 6, 7, we're unblocking my mind from God by getting rid of the things in it that are blocking them and seeing when I'm wrong. Now, Lyle said he understands fear now is wrong belief, and anger is wrong judgment. And then I did harmful acts, and I know they're wrong now. And I don't have to have fear and anger, and I don't have to harm people anymore. And then 10, 11, and 12, I thought, is how we actually keep the blocks from coming back. How do we keep, and on page 84, and I've quoted this a million times, you're sick of it, I know, but you're gonna hear it again. On page 84, it says, we've entered the world of the spirit. We wanna grow in understanding and effectiveness. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I'm gonna watch for the blocks when they start coming up. I'm not gonna wait for them, I'm gonna watch for them, and what do? When these start to crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. So 10 and 11 and 12 is a way for we watch for the blocks when they appear, and we ask God to remove them. And so when we do that, our lives are better, and we have a relationship with our Creator. I actually took notes tonight because there was so much, I didn't want to miss anything. And then it says, and for faith in the power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. And so how do we see that? We see that in the stories in the book, especially the ones with the pioneers, because they were saying how they recovered through a spiritual experience and awakening. When I read these blogs on the agnostics, these people have agnostic groups and atheist groups in AA, and I mean that may work for them. I don't know, but how do you have a relationship with your power greater than yourself if you don't believe there is one? So I think that would be an interesting meeting to go to, and the fellowship, the meeting tonight, seeing people. We know they're going to be here. I know certain people are going to be here, and they're going to be sober, and they're going to be smiling. And that tells me that this works. And the other thing I thought about is that we have an inner voice, which we call the conscious, and it's always been there. And when I don't listen to it, things don't go well. And when I listen to it, things go well. We want to have conscious contact with God, because I've had conscious separation. And that man, Chuck C., was so brilliant. If you can read it, have a new pair of glasses or listen to him. He says that we have one problem, conscious separation. We consciously separated from the power. And then we need conscious contact to be aware. And the other thing I thought about is the more I listen to my inner conscious, the voice of God, the better my life is. And when I say, I block it out and I go on my own way, things don't go well. And that's basically the story of my life. The other thing I thought about is that when I have this voice, this inner voice, and I rely on it, things are good. And so I don't have to rely on self anymore. I can rely on that inner voice. But I have to have contact with it. And that's what the steps are all about. And then a spiritual awakening, I thought about it, just means that I'm aware of the spirit. I'm aware of this voice. I'm aware of this fundamental idea of God. And I can listen to it and I can act on it. But he gave us free will and I could separate from it too. But when I do, I don't feel well, and he disciplines us because things don't go well, so he hopes we'll come back to him. So that's where the power is. It's deep inside in all of us, and I think this was a really tremendous gift to the world, the way they wrote this paragraph. So there's no block. Some religions tell you have to do certain things to get to God, and certain traditions, that may be true. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but AA says it's in all of us. And it says, remember, the highway is broad. We found that God does not make too hard turns for those who seek him. I love that line. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who currently earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to be all men. I think these ideas in this chapter really are powerful spiritual message. So it says, and this is this paragraph, if you listen to Father Bill W., an XA speakers, he gives a talk in 1983, and you listen to the last 20 minutes, and he talks about the chapter of the agnostic, the man who got a PhD from the Vatican and with Pope John Paul, studied with him, and how he said he found God in this paragraph. He couldn't find it in the Vatican. He couldn't find it in church. It says, we finally saw that faith in some kind of God was part of my makeup, just as much as the feeling I have for a friend. And so, how do I find that friend? It says, sometimes I had to search fearlessly, but he was there. Does that sound like a step? A searching, fearless moral inventory of myself. And when I do that, I peel away the things that weren't really me, and I find the real person. Sandy Beach says, we're given a gift when we come to AA. And the gift we're given is we can see the real me, not the person I created. And they talk about Michelangelo, and he created the statue David. They said, how'd you do that? He said, I peeled away all the things that weren't David, and then it was there. And we do the same with us. We see our resentments, fears, our harms, our character defects, they don't have to be part of the real me. And so we learn that through the steps when we search fearlessly. And it says, much a fact as we were. Anybody think they're here? Anybody think they're in the room? Well, AA is telling you, if you believe you're in the room, that's as much a fact that God is part of you. They don't mince any words here. They don't say it might be or anything. This is absolute statements, one after the other. Because this was their experience. He was as much a fact as we were. And then it says, we found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, is it only there that he may be found? It is so with us. And I skipped this line, it was so with us, a lot of times. But it's their experience. And so AA is just saying, okay, this was so with us. You do the steps, follow the directions, and tell if it's so with you. And that's what we share at meetings. That's what we share at birthdays. It's so with me. There are other people in the room. It's so with them. And so the new person can see that. Here it is. This next paragraph, it says, we can only clear the ground a bit if our testimony helps sweep away prejudice. Now, the word testimony, I think Gary pointed out one time, well, this is a testament. We have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and we have the AA Testament. It's a testimony. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. It's their testimony. And it's powerful because this is their experience. You can't argue with it. Now, you may not like it. You may not want to do it. People have a lot of prejudice and other old ideas, but it's their testimony. And it says, if their testimony, this information in this book, if it sweeps away prejudice, enables me to think honestly, encourages me to search diligently within yourself, then if you wish, you can join us on that broad highway to God. It says, really, have we seen a person fail? It's really fired our path. We're on a highway to God. And then at the end of 164, it says, we trudge the road to happy destiny. So what are the things that I need to do? If their testimony, the book is supposed to help sweep away prejudice, old ideas. And then if it does, and I have an attitude of thinking honestly and searching diligently with myself, I cannot fail. So it says, think honestly, encourage me to search diligently within myself, then if I wish, I can join them. And if I have this attitude, I cannot fail. This is a promise. This is maybe the greatest promise in the book, that all I have to do is look at their testimony, sweep away my old ideas. Remember, our old ideas will kill us unless we let go, absolutely. Enables me to think honestly. Remember, they talk, honesty is three times in the first paragraph of how it works. Honest, see, think honestly, think truthfully, see the truth. And then if I search diligently within myself, then I cannot fail. So I wrote some things here. I searched everywhere outside of me for this. And I searched through sex, drugs, alcohol, money, approval, success, relationships, things. And I sought that. I looked outside to fill the hole inside that was, I was never okay. I was never good enough. I was always less than. I don't know if you had that. I wrote a thought on recovery that I'm going to put out this week. It says, false pride is a compensation for feeling less than. And Clancy I said, this is the real killer for an alcoholic. And I felt less than. I wasn't whole because I had no relationship with God. And so I sought all those things out there. And it's only when I looked within that I found what I was looking for my whole life. And so it says, the consciousness of my belief is conscious, is sure to come to you. Now, we talked about the difference between belief and faith. And I was looking at this, conscious belief is faith. See, belief, I have belief, but when I'm conscious of it, I'm aware that the belief is real and true, then I have faith. So we start with belief, but if we sweep away prejudice, think honestly, search diligently within myself, I won't fail and I will have true faith and true knowledge of God. And so faith, relationships, conscious awareness, it's sure to come. They don't mince any words here. Now, we're going to read in this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. His story is so interesting that some of it should be told now. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. I don't know if this was Bill W. I think this was AA number 3, but I'm not sure. If anybody knows, let me know. Our friend was a minister's son. He attended church school where he became rebellious at what he thought an overdose of religious education. Anybody rebel about religion when they were younger in the room? No? Everybody? For years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration, you see. He had separated himself. Business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. These calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war disillusionment. It's 56. I was just down on 55. Sorry, Mark, you let me down. Page 56.
Thank you.
Post-war disillusionment, ever more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical health, brought him to the point of self-destruction. Anybody relate to that? One night when confined in a hospital, he was approached by an alcoholic who'd known a spiritual experience. Our friend's gorge rose as he bitterly cried out, "If there's a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me." He was an alcoholic. But later, alone in his room, he asked himself this question: "Is it possible that all the religious people I've known are wrong?" He's starting to get open-minded, you see. While pondering the answer, he felt as though he lived in hell. Then, like a thunderbolt, a great thought came that crowded out all else. "Who am I to say there is no God?" He's beginning to get humility. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed to his knees. In a few seconds, he was overwhelmed by a conviction of the presence of God. It poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. The barriers he had built through the years were swept away. He stood in the presence of infinite power and love. So that's another, there are a lot of descriptions of God in the big book. But it can be infinite power and love. And that's the way I think of God. God is love, he's infinite power. And he had stepped from the bridge to shore. Now remember, I gave you that handout, which I'm sorry nobody brought back. But it had, you start on the shore of reason, and you cross over the bridge to faith. And you start with willingness to change, believe you can change, you decide to change, and then you leave the shore, you take the action, and you get across the shore and you have faith. And so that's what we do in the steps. That's the process of change. And he had stepped from bridge to shore. Now, what keeps a lot of us from going from bridge to shore is our reason. We rely on our reason and what we think of it. And we decide whether we're going to do it rather than abandon ourselves to it and seed the process. Thus, with our friend's cornerstone fixed in place, remember the foundation of the arch to freedom is what? Willingness. And what's the cornerstone? Belief. And the keystone is the decision not to play God. And then the steps put the arch in progress, and we walk through the arch to freedom from the bondage of self. His alcoholic problem was taken away. That very night years ago, it disappeared. Save for brief moments of temptation, the thought of drink has never returned. And at such times, a great revulsion has risen up in him. So you can see the truth about alcohol has been restored to sanity. It says seemingly he could not drink it even if he would. God had restored his sanity, had a relationship to God. So it says, what is this but a miracle of healing? Anybody agree with that? We're all miracles here. None of us should be sober. Most of us shouldn't be alive. And we forget that some days. Yet its elements are simple. Here's the miracle of healing. Here's the elements. Circumstances made him willing to believe. Circumstances. Steps 1 and 2, pain, suffering, humiliation, defeat, made him willing to believe. People don't come in here one day and say, "I'm going to go to AA. Sounds good." No, things are going bad. Our plans failed us. Things are bad. We're desperate. That's why if your circumstances haven't made you willing to believe, you're not defeated. You're not going to do the steps. We see that all the time. People come in. They feel real bad, and things aren't going well, but they're not completely defeated. And I heard something today. It says surrender isn't a one-time deal. Surrender is an ongoing process. And Chuck C. talked about that, daily surrender, because we have a daily reprieve based on our surrender to that we need God. We need to have that relationship. He humbly offered himself to his maker, and then he knew. So he humbly offered himself to his maker in step 3. He worked the steps, and then he knew. He knew God. He knew God's power. And if you've done the steps and you're living in the steps, you know that there's a God available to you. I know it's available to me, and others will talk about that for themselves. But I have to turn to him. I can turn away, and things won't get any better. And I have to turn away from myself and my thinking and turn to God. Even so, as God restored us to our right minds. Now, what was your wrong mind? My wrong mind is my mind, my alcoholic mind, my self-centered mind. My right mind can see the truth with God. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into more slowly, but I love this. He has come to all who have honestly sought them. The word honest is throughout this book. honestly sought him, and he will come to all. That's a promise. It's a guarantee. So if you're not honestly seeking him, he's not going to come to you. Now, how do you know if you're honestly seeking him? Are you willing to go to any length? Are you doing the deal? What did you do today to seek God? Because it's an ongoing process. If I don't seek him all the time, he won't be there. I'll be separated. He's here. And so what did I do today to have this relationship? You know, did I pray? Did I meditate? Did I turn my thoughts away from myself? Did I see what I could do for others? It says, when we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. Remember, it says then how it works. God can and will if he were sought. So I have free will to turn away from self, and I also have free will to turn away from my selfishness. And so it says, remember it says, and page 84, it says, when we have the selfish, dishonest, resentment thoughts, we ask God to remove them, we make amends, we discuss them with someone, and then we turn ourselves to someone we can help. Turn away from me. Now, the other thing, it took me a long time, and I've heard people say this to him, if you have fear and you're thinking about fear, you're living in it. It becomes your power. And it's whatever you feed becomes you. And so we have to turn away from these self-centered thoughts to turn towards God. Now, I couldn't recognize that when I was in self. I couldn't even see it. That was the world we lived in. That's why some people have trouble doing their fourth step, because it's the whole world they lived in was full of resentment and fear. They can't even see it. So how do I draw close to him? I wrote, I pray and I do his will. And how does God disclose himself to me? And I thought about it, meditation and other people. See, God works through others. And so that's how he talks to me, when I meditate and other people, and I draw close to him through prayer and doing his will. So that's what I got out of these pages. I saw some new things that I hadn't seen before, because the whole book ties together. Now, we talked about To Wives yesterday, and I know some people don't like to read it because Bill W., quote, wrote it and this and that, but we don't know what went on. We don't know the discussions with him and the wives and what he knew, but I see why he wrote it, because the way it's put together is consistent with the other writing of the book. And if it was a whole different author and a whole different way of writing, it might have seemed different. The ideas he put together in the language that he uses in the rest of the book. And I'm sure that the wives had a lot to do with the input. We weren't there, we don't know. But I've heard people say, I'm not going to read it because Bill wrote it. Well, we read it yesterday and there was some powerful stuff in there. So anyway, we're going to open it up, and this chapter takes this into action. If you notice, they spend how many pages? 57 pages on steps 1 and 2. Now the step 2 question is on page, I think, 47. Are you willing to believe, or do you believe, that there's a power greater than yourself? And so I thought about that. Let's say you've been around for a while. You've got people here with a lot of years of sobriety. Well, sure, you believe that there's a power greater than yourself. But then ask yourself, are you willing to believe that that power can take you past where you are now? Can you grow spiritually? Can you see more? And then the other question is, on page 55, God is everything or nothing. What is my choice to be? Let's say you've been sober a while. Well, you could say, in what areas of my life am I not having God as everything? Can I have God everything in all areas of my life today? And what areas am I not giving to him? What areas am I having trouble with? Where am I still managing? So steps 1 and 2 are ongoing. And step 2 is a continuous 1-2, just like the rest of them. So we'll open it up. Thanks for coming, and we'll share. I'm sure people have ideas on this stuff. It's powerful stuff.